And a lot of these that we saw and that we know that even in this church, that for some this video doesn't mean much, but because we don't know them and it doesn't register. But for those of you that have been here, those lives, they matter. They're impactful. And there's a lot of them that this world will probably never know them, or even on fellowship probably does not know them. They are what we call unsung heroes. We call them heroes of faith. And there's voices that go on beyond the grave. That's why in verse 4 that we read, "And by it, being dead, yet speaketh." Can I tell you something tonight? That there is something to be said about the life we live and the life we have lived. What we do, how we act, how we treat one another, what we do for one another, how we live, how we lived, what we live for, what we gave ourselves to, what we did for the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, it all matters. How we live speaks volumes. What we live for speaks volumes. Our bodies may return to dust. Our breath may stop beating in our lungs. But the life that we live will live on. People will remember either the good or the bad, the life that we lived. Yes, from beyond the grave, and even that video, and I know it was a lengthy video, and I know there were those that were picking up stuff and working, and I cried. I had several times where I had to stop, and really, literally, I mean, just people that gave themselves to the work of God. Brother Charlie Davis, just scraping a concrete sidewalk out there by himself. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that don't take notice, but there is a God that notices. And that's why he said in verse 4 of the 11th chapter, "And by it being dead, yet speaketh." And in this verse, we read it, it talks about the life that Abel lived. And we don't know how old he was. We don't know how many years that he lived. We don't know what kind of home he lived in. But we do know that even in death, Abel's life still speaks. Abel was kingdom minded. Abel had a heart for God and a heart after God. And Abel was a giver. He was faithful. And the Bible says that Abel offered an excellent sacrifice because he put God first. And again, I don't know how old he was. I don't know how many years that he lived. But we do know this. He lived for God. He put God first. And he made a statement to this world and even to us today of the life that he lived. He lived for God. And the Bible lets us know that his brother despised him because of it. His brother Cain hated him. Because the Bible said that Abel's offer, his sacrifice was great, but God did not accept Cain's sacrifice. Cain was jealous. Cain was envious. And can I tell you that there are people that are envious of you. And there are people that are jealous of you. And there are people that don't like you because the hand of God rests upon you. They don't like the way you talk. They don't like the way you act. They don't like the favor of God on you. And that's why there are attacks that happen on your lives and on your families and in your homes and on your children. There are people that do not like you living for God. You start making up your mind and you start making a commitment. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have a godly home. I'm going to have a godly marriage. And we're going to put God first. There are going to be people. They're going to rise up against you. And they're going to try to attack you on every corner. Why? Because you chose God. And they did not. And they don't like it. They don't like it that you're anointed. They don't like it that you're blessed. And they don't like it that you're being used of God. But there is a voice beyond the grave that says to us, don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop giving. Don't stop worshiping. Don't stop praying. Put God first. live for God, live for His kingdom, because I'm telling you, there is life beyond the grave. We've got to understand something tonight, that we're only here for a short time. We don't have much time. We have earthquakes going on. We've got hurricanes going on. There's another hurricane coming on. Following Jose, there's a Maria hurricane coming on. The same path it was on Irma. I'm telling you, we are living in the last days. And we've got to make up our mind. We've got to do all that we can now. The Apostle Paul made a statement. He said, to die is to gain. Why? Because, Brother Archie, there is life beyond this. And you've got heroes that you call mom and dad. And I know they don't live anymore. They're not upon this earth anymore, but they are living beyond this. Sister Leek, you've got a hero in your husband, Brother Leek. Such a dear man of God, doing anything. He was willing to do anything he could. He had a servant's heart. He asked Brother Ramirez. Brother Ramirez says, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just helping you, Brother Ramirez. Changing a light bulb, painting these moldings here. He was digging a ditch. Everything that he could do. And his life speaks on. And that is, we've got to put God first. Because I'm telling you that there are people that do not put God first. There are people like Cain. And we know Cain was not kingdom minded. And we know Cain did not put God first. And we know that Cain only lived for Cain. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God said there will be something that will rule your life. There'll be something that will rule over you. It will either be the blessings from heaven, or there'll be a curse of sin. If you do well, you're going to be accepted. But if you don't, then sin will rule your life. For sin will lie at the door, and sin has desires. Can I tell you, sin will not seek to bless you. Sin will not seek to nurture you. Sin will not seek to take care of you. Sin will not seek to comfort you. No, the Bible said that sin seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. It cares nothing about you. It wants to take you out. It wants to destroy your marriage. It wants to destroy your home. It wants to destroy your family and your kids. It wants to devastate everything in its path. It seeks to take your name out of the Lamb's book of life. But beyond the grave, I hear a voice saying this, Brother Garcia, you can break the curse. Brother Scott, you can turn your life around. Brother Archie, you don't have to stay down. You can get back up. Don't be defined by your past anymore. You just need to put God back where He belongs. You've got to put God number one in your life. You can do it. You can live for God. You can make it. If you just make up your mind, things are going to be different. I mean, you think about it. Abel had every reason to carry a grudge. Abel had every reason to be mad at God and to be mad at mom and to be mad at dad. He had every reason to say, you know what? This church business, it's not for me. This living for God business, it's not in my future. He could have said that because he's no longer in the garden. He no longer had the ability to walk with God in the cool of the day. He had a mom and he had a dad that kicked his whole family out of the garden. And he had to work now couldn't just kick back on a chair and wait for food to come his way. But because of what mom and dad did, and because they were kicked out of the garden, because sin came in, he had to go to work. So if anybody had the chance or the ability to get mad and hold a grudge to God and say, God, it's not fair. I didn't do it. Mom and dad did. I don't want to do this, but he made up his mind. I don't care what mom and dad did. Matter of fact, I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to put God where he belongs. I know my family name is not the greatest. I know my past does not look good, but I've got to have God in my life. I can't make it without him. I need to do whatever I can, and however it happens, I got to make sure I put God first. And we know that because he wanted the blessings and he wanted the favor. And he begins to take and give God the first fruits. He gives God the best that he has. And the Bible said not only the best, but he also gave him the fat thereof. You talk about what he did. We just gave an offering just a few minutes ago. You all just begin to jump on that train, and I'm telling you that God takes notice. And you say, it was just $50. It was just $100. It was just $500. It wasn't a whole lot. No, it wasn't a whole lot in comparison to what God has done for you. But I'm telling you, when you start giving yourselves to God and you give yourselves to the kingdom, heaven begins to take notice, and God begins to say, I'm going to bless that one. I'm going to put favor on them. I'm going to anoint them. I'm going to break that curse where sin tried to devastate their home. I'm going to make a way out of an escape. I'm telling you, there is a voice beyond the grave today. There is a voice saying, you can get back what the enemy has taken. You can get back to that first love. You can get back to that first altar experience. You can't have your family saved. You can't have your marriage put back together. God can still bless your life. But here it is. Here's the 411. You just watched the video clip. Here's how it happens. To get God's favor, to get God's blessing, to get God's anointing, it takes W-O-R-K. It takes work. That's what a marriage is about too. 20 years of marriage. I wish I could tell you I've never got on her nerves. Wish I could tell you I've never annoyed her. But I know that's not the truth. I annoy her way too much. But she says, you know what? I'm going to put the work in. Because there may come a day where he may not annoy me. You know what I'm saying? You're laughing because you do that. Because you annoy your spouse or your spouse annoys you. But you realize, I'm going to put some work in this. I'm going to start planting love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. I'm going to start putting God into the equation because God said, I've got to learn to love the way he loves. And the way he loves, he says, it's forgiven 70 times 7. It's learned to love. It's learned to forgive those that don't even deserve to be forgiven. It's the kingdom. It's putting God first. Understanding. That's going to take some work, Brother Jose. My family may not get this, but I'm going to get this. My brothers, my sisters may not be here, but I know what I've got to do, and I know what I got to have. I'm telling you that the worst thing that we possibly could do is let offense and bitterness and all that junk to begin to rule our lives and say, you know what, life's not fair. I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to go there. I shouldn't have to give a sacrificial offering. I shouldn't have to feel that way. No, you shouldn't. There is a God that notices everything that you do.
Again, I'm reminded of Brother Charlie Davis scraping that concrete, and people could say, come on, Brother Charlie, it's just going to get dirty again. Why even do that? Nobody's going to go out there and look at it. That's how we get with the kingdom. That's how we get in God's work and God's church. Sometimes we don't do things because we're like, it's not really a big deal. Nobody's going to know. But Brother Charlie had his scraper out there. And I don't know if you saw it or paid attention, but brothers, I don't know how old he was at that point. Bishop, how old? He's probably in his 70s, maybe. 70s, probably late, probably mid-70s. But I don't know if you noticed, his arm got tired. And so he put his other arm on this, and he began to move both arms. And you heard that scraping noise. And I could have turned down the volume, but I was like, no. That's what it's all about. He's out there saying, I don't care if anybody else sees it. I don't care if I get accolades. I don't care if I ever get a slap on the back that says you did a great job on the sidewalk, because I'm not doing it for anybody here. I'm doing it for him. And every scrape I take, every work I do, I'm letting God know that he reigns in my life, and I need his favor, and I need his blessing, and I need his anointing. Why? Because I've got to put God number one in my life, beyond the grave. The voices speak. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there are people that no longer walk the face of this earth, but yet they are around us. They surround us. They compass us about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There have been people that have worked and built this kingdom for you. We sit back there and padded pews, and you didn't always have padded pews, Bishop. You didn't always have nice carpet and nice lights and a nice building. I remember even going to 274 North Mooney. I believe that was the address, right? I went there. I came in November, December of 96. You guys dedicated your building March of 96, but I believe you got in January of 96 or something, very close to that. And I remember it was just 8-9 months later, I show up on the scene, and I go to where you had church before. And I walk there. Anybody remember that building? 274 North Mooney. And I walk in there, and I see shag carpet. You know what I'm saying? I was like, whoa, that's a disco area right now. You know what I'm saying? It's just shag. And it was dirty. And I looked up, Brother Victor, and it was just dust everywhere and cobwebs everywhere. And I noticed a couple rats running around. And I go, wow, you guys probably, you know, you just kind of let this church go, right? And they're like, no, that's how we had church. You know what I'm saying? And then from 8th Street, they did their best with what they had. They began to work. They began to sacrifice for where we are now. And woe be unto us if all we do is sit back on our pews and cross our legs and cross our spirits and saying we have arrived. We have not arrived. We've got work to do. We've got a job to do. And number one, that job is we've got to carry on where our brothers and sisters have left already. We've got to grab the baton of a brother Sparks and a sister Sparks. We got to grab the baton of a brother Leek and sister Pauline Sanders and a brother Long, and on and on and on. Why? Because there is a voice beyond the grave that says the greatest decision you could ever make is to put God number one in your life. Men and women of this great church that have gone on before us, they've passed it on. Brother Lottie Falimi, Brother and Sister Ramirez, Brother Dombeck, Brother Bain, I believe I saw Brother Bain in there. Charlie Davis, Sister Pauline Sanders, and on and on and on, Brother Victor. Unsung heroes of faith. This world may know nothing about them. They may not have a big bank account. They may not pass down the worldly pursuits of this world. But the greatest thing that they passed down was the kingdom. They passed down the kingdom into our hands. We now hold their work in our hands. We now know how they labored, and it's up to us to say, you know what? I'll pick up where you left off, and I'll pray when nobody else wants to pray. I'll knock doors when nobody else wants to knock doors. I'll fast when nobody else wants to fast. I'll be about the kingdom of God. Because you look at that, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. What's the sin? What's the weight? Sister Anna, what's he referring to? Can I just tell you that your weight and my weight, Brother Scott, may be completely different. But anything that takes the place of God's kingdom becomes a weight. Anything that derails your relationship with God becomes a weight. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your home. Thank God for your money and your bank account. Thank God for everything that God has blessed you with. But I'm here tonight to tell you, if any of those blessings causes you to lose out on the kingdom of God, you've got to say, I'm going to lay aside that weight and sin. Why? Because I want God in my life and my family. He goes on to say, that if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. It'd be better to go to heaven missing an eye than to go to hell with both sets of eyes. I don't know what it is in your life, but you know. You know the thing you talk about the most. You know the thing you think about the most. You put in front of you the most. That's your God. That's your weight. Pastor, why are you preaching like that? Give me something that'll get me on my feet and run and shout and dance and be happy while I'm trying to. Because the greatest thing that you've got in this world is your soul. And Mark chapter 8 verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I don't care how much money you put in your car and how much you paid to lift that sucker up. It's going to burn one day. Don't care about your 401k and your money market plan. It's going to burn one day. The only thing that you do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. God, help this preacher, God. Help this pastor, God. Help this husband, God. Help this father to put you first. Put you where you belong. Help me, God, to lay aside every weight. I want to follow after you. I want to run this race with patience. The race that is set before me. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I told you I wouldn't be long. I didn't feel like I was going to be long. Brother Archie, shed a lot of tears watching those videos. So many videos that I could have shown. It was just a small portion. But men and women who are no longer here, they're shouting out from the grave. Beyond the grave, their life speaks to us. It's saying, Brother Alex, what are you running after? What's number one in your life? I know bills
pressures of life, sometimes they zap our joy. We're always just pressured to meet sales. I've been in sales, Brother Rincon, for 20 years. And you're only as good as your last sale. Only as good as your last loan. I get pats on my back and say, great job, way to close those loans last month. What are you going to do this month? It's like, it's never ending. And you know you've got to close the loans and you've got to close the sales because you've got bills. And instead of thinking what you could do next for God's kingdom, you're thinking what you could do next when you get paid. Got quiet right there. Because a lot of you live paycheck to paycheck. And God's saying that should not be. Your mind and your heart should not be on earthly matters. It should be on heavenly matters. And I'm telling you, it sobers me to watch all the turmoil of life. Watch the devastation that the hurricanes have caused, the earthquakes have caused. And a knucklehead in North Korea wanting to fire things off. Yeah. But I'm telling you, people go look it up through the eclipse. The Lord said something like this: when you see all these signs approaching, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Brother Eddie, I won't be saved. I really do. I want God to be pleased in me. Bishop talked about David, a man that had mistakes, but a man that God said was after my own heart, because he was quick to realize where his life was, and he owned it. And that's what he realized when the prophet came and said, "Thou art the man." He could have said, "Get out of here." Could have killed the prophet. A lot of people in this world love to kill the prophet, love to kill the man of God. David, when he heard those words and conviction set in. See, we don't respond very well to conviction anymore. Conviction has lost its savor. We've got to realize, I'm not where I need to be, God. My home is not where it needs to be. God, I pray on this Sunday night. Pray I'd open up my spiritual ears and I'd hear the voices from beyond the grave, letting me know that the only thing I do for Christ is the only thing that's going to last. So God, tonight on this Sunday night, I stand before you in need of you. I'm standing, God, in the need of prayer. Help my attitude. Help my spirit, God. Search the cracks and crevices of my heart. If there's anything in me that displeases you, I'm praying that you'd purify me tonight. I want to be pleasing in your sight tonight. God, help me be that man that you could depend on. Help me become that spiritual man that you've destined me to become. Come on, is anybody hear the voices tonight?
Is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight willing to grab that baton and saying, God, you can count on me. You can trust in me. You can depend on me. I'll be the one, God, that'll stand in the gap. Oh, if that's you tonight, why don't you step out from where you are? Why don't you fall down at one of these altars? And why don't you lift up your voice and say, God, take this whole world. I just want you. Help me, God, to focus on stuff that will live on instead of the stuff that will perish and burn forever. Help me learn to pray. Bring me back to prayer again. Bring me back to the study of your word again. Bring me back, God, to witnessing to people again. It's been a while, God, since I've won a soul. Set me on fire, God. Set a burden inside my soul, God. I've got family that need this. I've got friends that need this. I've got a home that needs this. I know I'm not where I need to be, but God, let me break the curse tonight. Let me break it tonight, God. I want the blessing. I want the favor. I want the anointing, God. Come on, all across the building. All across the building. I just want you, God. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. I desire you. Bring me back to prayer, God. Bring me back to all night prayer meetings. Oh. Come on, we got a work to do. We've got a job to do.